The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back and happy September 16th, 2020. If you wanted to know something or even something more about the federal officer shot outside the Sandra Day O'Connor Federal Courthouse in downtown Phoenix yesterday, you would not have been informed by the AZ Central website, the website for the Arizona Republic. Not this morning. I screen grabbed what you would have found if you visited the site as of 8:52 this morning. I just double checked before we went live. The same amount of emptiness. Nothing about the story. The main featured story this morning, will schools have to close again? Then, what they call top headlines, what the pandemic has and hasn't changed for AZ voters, how to safely vote in 2020, explained by Katie Hobbs, genetic researchers, COVID-19 virus is mutating slowly, reinfections possible, more Arizonans were uninsured last year, report says, the pandemic crushed South Phoenix business, then light rail construction started. After all that, at AZ Central, you get, will Joe Biden visit Arizona? Truck clubs celebrate Mexican Independence Day. That's much more important, of course, isn't it, than the shooting of a federal officer. Mike Pence and Karen Pence to visit Phoenix. Self-storage continues to trend. That's important to know, too. Bad news again for Martha McSally. That was a headline. Then, under local news, because none of that was local, they have a section for local news, as if the previous headlines weren't, controversial waste station won't come to Peoria. You may think the shooting of a federal officer in downtown Phoenix more important than that. How about this one? Risk of shortages grow along Colorado River. And then there was something about an Uber driver being charged from an incident in 2018. But what of yesterday? What of, in the midst of what seems like an open war on public safety, including riots, targeting of private property, civilians and police, what of a federal officer shot in front of a federal courthouse in Phoenix yesterday? The very kind of thing our president and attorney general sent federal agents into Portland about a month ago when the federal courthouse there was under attack. And here we have a downed local federal officer. Not a word. I suppose the Arizona Republic just took their cues from the Democratic Convention. If you don't mention the problem, the violence, the mayhem, it doesn't exist. We can keep the people dumb, uninformed, especially when the story is not helpful to the cause. I put the cause in quotes. As the Duke of Gloucester said in Richard III, say that I slew them not. And as the Queen replies, then say they are not slain, but dead they are, and devilish slave by thee. I was reading the story from Professor Gary Morrison about early 20th century Russia, where there were waves of unprecedented terror attacks against the state. He writes, quote, anyone wearing a uniform was a candidate for a bullet to the head or sulfuric acid to the face. Country estates were burnt down, businesses were extorted or blown up. Bombs were tossed at random into railroad carriages, restaurants, and theaters. Far from regretting the death and maiming of innocent bystanders, terrorists boasted of killing as many as possible, either because the victims were likely bourgeois or because any murder helped bring down the old order, close quote. Sounds like Compton on Saturday and the hospital the sheriff's deputies were brought to. Sounds like Portland. Sounds like Seattle. Sounds like Kenosha. Sounds like Chicago, Baltimore, Rochester, Atlanta. Then Professor Morrison wrote this, quote, how did educated liberal society respond to such terrorism in Russia? What was the position of the Constitutional Democratic, the Cadet Party, and its deputies in the Parliament, the Duma, in 1905? Though cadets advocated democratic constitutional procedures and did not themselves engage in terrorism, they aided the terrorists in any other way they could. Cadets collected money for terrorists, turned their homes into safe houses, and called for total amnesty for arrested terrorists who pledged to continue the mayhem. Cadet Party Central Committee member N.N. Shepkin declared that the party did not regard terrorists as criminals at all, but as saints and martyrs. The official cadet paper, Herald of the Party People's Freedom, never published an article condemning political assassination. The party leader, Paul Milyoukov, declared, quote, "All means are now legitimate, and all means should be tried." When asked to condemn terrorism, another liberal leader in the Duma, Ivan Petrukhanovich, replied, condemn terror. That would be the moral death of the party. If any of this sounds familiar, maybe you'd think leading Democrats here would raise money for the rioters, help bail them out. Maybe the elites would donate to their causes and defense via GoFundMe pages. Maybe they would select a presidential candidate who, like Chance Gardner in Being There, is of such diminished capacity that he merely mouths what is easily fed to him and is kept under wraps as much as possible, lest he go off script or reveal his incapacity. Maybe their vice presidential candidate would say the rioting isn't going to let up and should not, and that we should not. Maybe she'd visit alleged criminals and call them heroic. Maybe she'd say she's proud of them. Maybe their main house organs, be it newspapers or televised news, would ignore the violence and hide or bury the unpleasant, the sadistic elements of them. When asked to comment them, they might even call them myths. The inconvenient facts that upset their narratives can simply be made to go away. Just like inconvenient truth tellers were sent away once the powers of the Constitutional Democratic Party funded and covered for attained power. Perhaps we might look at today's cancel culture and censorship as the transitory phase Marx thought socialism was on the way to communism. Heck, maybe we might even label or libel truth tellers as beneath dignity, beneath humanity, beneath sanity. Maybe we'd call their leaders psychiatrically unfit or unstable. Deplorable might be a word. Racist might be another. Stephen Spender, writing in The God That Failed, wrote, quote, "I had discovered that these people did not consider that they were in any way answerable for the actions of the cause which they supported. I began to wonder how much communists know about communism. I still wonder. Other communists do not say to them, 'We have slave camps in Russia.' Quite the contrary. If a fellow communist even suggested this, he would be accused of occupying himself with unimportant details, if not being accused of being a fascist. It might even go beyond politics. Maybe it would move into our entertainment. Maybe it would take hold in sports. Maybe a general manager of a major team, even in a red state like Texas, might tweet the blandest of support for people in Asia, like Hong Kong, who themselves are marching to protest communism, and then be reprimanded and ostracized to the point where he'd have to apologize. Maybe a saint from New Orleans would be reprimanded and ostracized to the point where he'd have to apologize for voicing an opinion supporting what 100% of Americans did all the time in standing for our national anthem up until about a year ago, saying that was his idea of unity. Maybe he'd be forced to say calling the national anthem a moment of unity was insensitive. And maybe all the people forcing these confessions, these professions of faith, would stay silent and happily take money from a country that relies on slave labor, all while proclaiming itself, as Mao Zedong's book in Chapter 1 states, the Chinese Communist Party is the core of the Chinese Revolution, and its principles are based on Marxism-Leninism. All while proclaiming slavery here, having ended 155 years ago, is the bigger problem, or rather the only problem, we should focus on, much bigger than the slavery going on there right now and that they're making money off of. Maybe the people forcing these confessions understand better than we do the notion of Marxist historiography, the need to change history, and they would do so in a manner George Orwell worried about, writing, "Do you realize that the past, starting from yesterday, has been actually abolished? Every record has been destroyed or falsified. Every book has been rewritten. Every picture has been repainted. Every statue and street and building has been renamed. Every date has been altered. And that process is continuing day by day and minute by minute, with history having stopped and nothing exists except an endless present in which the party is always right." an endless present in which the party is always right. The past, starting with yesterday, perhaps including the shooting of a federal officer in downtown Phoenix, is abolished. Didn't happen. Doesn't exist. Maybe, too, as with any revolutionary movement, you would proclaim support for some races and diminish, even erase the history of, when not erasing the humanity of, other peoples. You'd most assuredly always have anti-Semitism, tolerate it, coddle it, perhaps even support it. You'd make people ignorant of it, too. You'd create a movement that made people ignorant of all the crimes against humanity and civilization abuse, whose very ideologies you are trying to adopt and get others to support. And you'd start in the schools. Heck, to quote Paul Harvey, you might just create a media that, with promises of higher ratings, mesmerizes and fans flames rather than reports. But only stories that support the cause and the party. Not with what you should know or even what you may want to know, but what the cause and the party thinks you should know and wants you to know. For soon enough, with enough success, what you should know and what you would want to know will be manipulated until it is changed to exclusively what the cause and the party want you to know. This, all this, is what we are to decide upon and either sanction or redress about 48 days from now. Who knew it would come to all this? Only those that know the power of socialism. That includes not just us, but them. Perhaps it includes them and their knowledge of what they are doing even more than we. I'm Seth Leibson. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show, 602-508-0960. I want to tell you about Dinesh D'Souza's latest film. It's called Trump Card, and it's an expose of the socialism, corruption, gangsterism that defines the modern Democratic Party. The film reveals what's unique about modern socialism, who's behind it, why it's evil, and how it can work with President Trump to stop it. Pre-order your DVD and video on demand now at watchtrumpcard.com. That's watchtrumpcard.com. Speaking of the part of who's behind it, I was blown away by something I saw on Fox News today. It was Harris Faulkner's show, and they had their Democratic person on, their Democratic Party contributor on, and they had Newt Gingrich on. And as the conversation was winding down, this is what happened. You almost had to see the video. My jaw was on the floor. If you missed it, this is what happened.
Destroyed by this violence.
Yeah, it's so true. They represent everybody, right? Speaker Gingrich, I know you have a final thought for us.
Yeah, look, the number one problem in almost all these cities is George Soros elected left-wing anti-police, pro-criminal district attorneys who refuse to keep people locked up. Just yesterday, they put somebody back on the street who's wanted for two different murders in New York City. You cannot solve this problem, and both Harris and Biden have talked very proudly about what they call progressive district attorneys. Progressive district attorneys are anti-police, pro-criminal, and overwhelmingly elected with George Soros' money, and they're a major cause of the violence we're seeing because they keep putting the violent criminals back on the street.
I'm not sure we need to bring George Soros into this.
That was Harris Faulkner.
I was going to say you'd get the last word, Speaker.
He paid for it.
Yeah.
I mean, why can't we discuss the fact that millions of dollars he spent?
I agree with Melissa. George Soros doesn't need to be a part of this conversation.
That was the Democrat.
Okay.
Newt is gobsmacked.
Oh, it's verboten.
All right.
Says
okay.
It's verboten. And there's Harris Faulkner staring at the video, not knowing what to say, having told Newt Gingrich
okay.
You can't talk about George Soros.
And
says, okay, we're going to move on. It was an incredible moment. If you're on Twitter or perhaps other social media, you can perhaps get that video. But Newt Gingrich spoke of George Soros funding millions of dollars into the protest movements and the Democratic Party. And Harris Faulkner says, we don't need to use George Soros' name. Newt Gingrich says, why not? He's paying for it. And then the Democrat chimes in, and then Harris Faulkner says no, and Newt Gingrich says, I guess it's verboten, which is German for, it's been adopted to the English language, which is German for, and English for, forbidden. Forbidden to mention that. Now, as I was picking my jaw up off the floor that they were censoring Newt Gingrich for mentioning George Soros' name, I was just doing a little of my own research, and son of a gun, here is perhaps Fox News wants to tell the New York Times that they shouldn't be publishing this story. But here's a story from a month ago, July 13th, headlined, George Soros' Foundation pours $220 million into racial equality push. Mr. Soros' group, the subheadline says, will invest $150 million in grants for black-led racial justice groups and another $70 million towards local grants for criminal justice reform and civic engagement opportunities. This includes organizations like the what the New York Times calls Progressive Black Voters Matter Fund, which other DAs and attorneys general have called radical organizations. The New York Times can publish it. Newt Gingrich on Fox News, where he is a contributor, by the way, can't mention it. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. What has happened at Fox News? Who knew the cancel culture would exist at Fox News? I like the use of the word verboten by Newt Gingrich. German word as it is appropriately used, meaning forbidden. The kinds of things that trained Germans in the 30s to read only what they were supposed to read and hear only what they were supposed to hear, with any dissent or other opinions being verboten. Verboten. Unbelievable. Now, at the same time, what transpired today across all cable news channels was Joe Biden gave a speech in Delaware, and it was covered fully live by Fox News, fully live, uninterrupted by Fox News. President Trump gave a press briefing today. It was not covered by CNN or MSNBC. There's a problem over at Fox, and it's more than just a political problem. It's an ethical problem, and it's more than just an ethical problem. It's a problem of literally the very thing their evening hosts talk about all the time, something we talk about all the time here. What is the problem with allowing the political system to just let it rip? Let the opinions flow. It's not as if Newt Gingrich is some young, uneducated wannabe trying to make a name for himself and throwing around irresponsible ideas. He's the former Speaker of the House with a PhD in history and a former history professor who is a contributor to Fox News. How has it become such a thing that to mention George Soros, as Newt Gingrich was blamed for doing all over Twitter today, is to engage in anti-Semitism? This is the newest shutdown effort when it comes to George Soros. I have to tell you, I have known of George Soros since the 90s. Until this new shutdown effort, I honestly had no idea he was even born Jewish. It has nothing to do with the birth of his, with his religious birth, with his parents, with his heritage. It has to do with the fact that, as the New York Times put it, his foundation is pouring $220 million into these pushes on the streets of our major cities. That's all it has anything to do with. And if his name was Ishkabibble, we would let it rip as well.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. 34 minutes past the hour means it's time for our culture and economy update with the great John Dombrowski from Grand Canyon Planning Associates. Grand Canyon Planning.com is his website, GrandCanyonPlanning.com. You'd think I would be able to say that, John, after many iterations.
I think we also have GCPAZ.com, if that's easy.
Oh, okay. No, I like GrandCanyonPlanning.com. I like that.
I'm sorry.
What did I do? Grand Planning. That's what the socialists do. That's not what you do.
No.
GrandCanyonPlanning.com. No. What does it tell you, John, or does it tell you anything, when S&P and NASDAQ dip a bit and Dow Jones goes up?
Well, there's...
Does it talk about the segments of the market?
Yeah. I mean, it's just so they're different indexes. Yeah. They comprise of different stocks, but in some cases there's some overlap. But generally speaking, you've got the Dow Jones Industrial 30 stocks that are part of that. And NASDAQ has a few thousand stocks in it. And then you've got the S&P 500, which make up 500 stocks. So there could be different sectors. As we know, we talk a lot about the NASDAQ, which is where all the big tech companies are. So tech was down a little bit today. So the NASDAQ was down a bit today, whereas industrials were up a little today. So just kind of different sectors of the market. Yes, that would be the case.
All right. Now, the other big news has to do with the Federal Reserve and interest rates. Talk to us about that.
So Fed Chair Powell today made his announcement that, again, they've made their inflation concerns in the past. And basically what they're saying is we are trying to maintain that 2% inflation, but we're going to allow inflation to kind of float. If it goes a little bit above that, we're not necessarily going to make any changes. If it goes a little below that, we're going to kind of just take a kind of sit back and wait type of an attitude, basically sending a message to the markets that there's not going to be any rate hikes for a few years at least. And that once that announcement was made today, we did see the markets rally a bit. They pulled back off of that. But generally speaking, low interest rates are a good thing for corporations because that's money that they can borrow at basically, it's free money for them to borrow money to be able to grow, to be able to implement some different changes throughout their companies. And long-term debt like this at these low interest rates is a benefit to big corporations as well to the average public, Seth. If you're going to buy a house today, you're going to get low interest rates. So it's good for the economy in general.
Good for the stock market as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Right now, anyway.
Okay.
Yes.
Because it tells you what, basically, that to put it no higher, money is not going to be more expensive.
Exactly. So if a company wants, they have a plan to grow, this is a perfect time, right, for them to be borrowing money. Or if they need money to maintain whatever their specific plan is, and maybe things haven't gone as well as they expected, raising money right now at these rates is pretty beneficial to them.
Okay, good. What else are you looking at today that's important for us?
Well, yesterday we talked briefly after I was on my way out that the Democratic presidential nominee, Biden, or was it Harris? I forget.
Right.
Anyway, there was an article that came out this week that talked about an idea of changing the way a deduction for a contribution to a 401k would occur. Instead of a tax deduction like we see today, right, if we make a contribution to our 401k plan, we get to deduct that from our income dollar for dollar. So if you're in a 15% tax bracket, you're saving basically 15% of whatever that contribution is for tax dollars. If you're in a 30% tax bracket, you're saving 30%, right? If you're in a higher income bracket. Vice President Biden is basically saying in his idea that he would not want to do a tax deduction, but a tax credit.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talking about a flat across the board tax credit as an example of 25%. So whoever makes a contribution would get a tax credit rather than a tax deduction.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say this is also a way then for them to control, Seth, who ultimately maybe will be able to take advantage of that tax credit.
Okay.
Right? Which means that, hey, if you're in maybe an income in excess of whatever it is, $200,000 per year, maybe they'd say you're only going to be able to take 50% of that tax credit.
Got it.
Or maybe you're not going to be able to take any of that tax credit, which means that those who are maybe in the higher income brackets may not be able to defer that contribution any longer.
Got it.
And that's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. So something for you to think about out there when you're contemplating on who you're going to be voting for.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much.
Securities and Advisory Services, offered through Client One Securities LLC, a member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor, Grant King & Planning Associates LLC, and Client One Securities LLC, not affiliated. Talk to me about your ideas of your 401k, IRA contributions. That's what I do for clients each and every day.
And you do it so well. Thank you, John. Love to have you here.
You bet. GrandCanyonPlanning.com.
GrandCanyonPlanning.com. All right, brother.
Thank you, sir. Bye.
For all your video and social media conferencing needs, I want you to check out SquadPod. Go to squadpod.com/Seth. It allows you to screen share, collaborate with all your teams, share files, video conference, chat, all privately, and no tracking or monitoring of your conversations, no selling of customer profiles, no third-party use whatsoever. They'll share your information with no one. They respect your free speech and your privacy, and they have a lot of great functions and accessories that come along with SquadPod. SquadPod.com/Seth. A lot of great features plus privacy and free speech. SquadPod.com/Seth. Quick correction. I think I attributed the shutting up of Newt Gingrich to Harris Faulkner. I was wrong about that. It was Melissa Francis. Even odder, as she tends usually to be a little bit more conservative than Harris Faulkner. But it was, I want to make that correction, Melissa Francis. It was Harris Faulkner who was kind of dumbfounded by it all on video. I guess Melissa Francis was off screen when she said it. And Maria Harf, the Democrat, of course, who echoed it. And, of course, still the silence. It's making a little bit of news. I see Mediaite and others are highlighting the Fox panel, Fox News panel gets very awkward when hosts push back on Gingrich invoking George Soros. Yeah, this should get some attention. We should see if we see a statement from Melissa Francis. I will read it to you. We should see one. Bob is in Phoenix. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Seth. I'm sure that this has occurred to you, but, you know, since Daddy Murdoch doesn't own or run it anymore in Fox, his boys do. Well, they're millennials. And they like rubbing elbows with all the Hollywood.
Oh, no. No, yeah. We've talked about it. Yeah, he still owns it, but the control is with the son now. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's my view that's happening, I think.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. There's a rule called the O'Sullivan Rule based on the name John O'Sullivan, right? You know it from National Review, that any institution that is not avowedly conservative will become liberal, if not left wing, and that is what has happened with Fox News. At least during the day part, I think their evening schedule is in pretty good hands.
Yeah, but the one other point that I'm sure you're aware of this, but Soros, when he was a young man, distanced himself as a Jew and became part of the Nazi Party. Did you know that?
Well, I know the story about it, and I don't. I'm not comfortable, quite frankly, saying that because I have seen a lot of debunking of it. And at this point, Bob, it's irrelevant to me what he did when he was 12 years old or 13 years old.
Oh no, I understand that.
What's relevant to me is that he is doing bad things now. One didn't have to be in Hungary or Germany to do bad things now, right? And I know there's enough controversy on the history that goes both ways on this, and maybe not even both ways. Maybe the preponderance of the evidence is that story isn't true. But I have read about it, and I've tried to get my arms around it as much as possible, at which point I just say I don't really usually go there. I just go to what he's doing now.
Well, I totally agree.
Yeah.
What do you think about him? I think he's all part of this so-called one world order type.
Well, yes, his open society has been doing damage for a lot of years. And I first ran into it and the problems that his organization was creating. He was creating when we were dealing with drug issues in the 90s. and he was financing so much of the legalization efforts and so much of the drug pushing efforts that were going on, so much of the harm reduction efforts, so much of the efforts to legalize marijuana. He founded organizations that we've done battle with that I've debated on radio, on TV, in person, and elsewhere. This is a man not of a liberal Democratic bent, but of a leftist bent, who the Democratic Party relies a great deal on. And, you know, I just find it funny when the Democrats, you know, pick out a single or a couple millionaires or billionaires in the Republican Party and try and blame them for the funding they engage in with the Republican Party, that it's become verboten, unspeakable on Fox News to mention George Soros. And this man is not a positive contribution to our political, to our politics, or our culture.
I think they're going to have a sad awakening when, after everything's done and this one world order might possibly take over, I think he's utilized Black Lives Matter and Antifa as cannon fodder, you know?
Well, yes.
He could care less.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He doesn't have to worry. He's got plenty of security. You know he does. And I will tell you that, Bob, he comes from this perspective. He doesn't need to have said it, but he obviously comes from the perspective that has been attributed to Lenin, that the worse, the better. The more chaos, the better. I mean, what more would you ask of a society already riven by problems, already having its struggles with everything from, you know, mental health issues and substance abuse issues to race issues, who spends money not to help fix them, not to help address them, but to exacerbate them, to exacerbate them. If it were not his desire, he could give an interview any time he wanted. He could give a public statement any time he wanted, saying, I want no more part of any of this. I want no part of any more disruption on our streets. He doesn't say that. He is as much of an enigma from the media as Howard Hughes was in his latter days. The difference is Howard Hughes wasn't contributing to the downfall of society. People forget this line, and maybe it'll be forgotten even more since there were attempts to ban it. But this line from Rhett Butler, right, who says, what people forget in Gone with the Wind, what people forget is it's just as easy to make money creating the downfall of a civilization as it is to make money building one up. And that's where George Soros is. He's in the business of making money and contributing money to de-civilization here in America. De-civilization. And while we can say it here, I am just shocked and flabbergasted as to why you can't say it on Fox News. I'm going to have a guest on this a little bit later in the show, David Riaboy. He's been following it all day and been responding to it on Twitter. And if Melissa Francis has a statement about this or an apology, I'll give it to you. So far, I haven't seen it. 602-508-0960. We'll be right back. We'll have David Riaboy with us at the top of the next hour. He'll be discussing the Newt Gingrich, George Soros, Fox News contretemps. It's not verboten here. I wanted to share with you something I was thinking, though. You know, as I'm continually thinking about the lily pads we are forced to jump on, crisis industrial complex created lily pads, and how quickly they just go by. What happened to the Bob Woodward story? That just went away, didn't it? It was all the rage for 3 days last week. Headlines everywhere that Bob Woodward had found out that Donald Trump was, or had reported that Donald Trump was, concealing facts from America. Then what happened was Bob Woodward kind of stepped on his own story by saying, I didn't see anything news breaking at the time. Otherwise, I would have released it months ago. Then he went on 60 Minutes over the weekend, and now it's just gone. Gone. Because there's nothing there. As we saw the same thing that it trumped, which you may recall was what? Donald Trump criticizing dead World War II veterans or American forces who were killed in Normandy in World War II, because there was nothing there. It's just amazing how fast they will make a story rise and then when it's responded to go away. You know, it does, I've said, take harder work to be a conservative than a liberal, because we're continually having to be in the position of saying, well, wait a second, to any given story that is thrown at us or that is emblazoned across the headlines, be it television or newspaper. It puts us in the position of saying, well, let's go find so-and-so who was there. Let's go find a named source, someone with credibility who can give us the full truth, as we'd had to do with John Bolton. How many people know that John Bolton, who was there and who has no like for Donald Trump, said that the story wasn't true? How many people actually know Bob Woodward himself said he didn't think he was revealing anything as newsworthy as the rest of the news media made it sound? They don't. But we had to go and work to put it out there. It takes a lot more work to be a conservative than a liberal. The liberal and the left have the luxury of not only running most of the news, whether it's paper or television, they have the luxury of reporting anything they want, usually based on unnamed sources. And we're supposed to just take it as fact as a society, and you cannot. How do I know these unnamed sources have any credibility whatsoever? I'm supposed to take the New York Times word for it? I'm supposed to take CNN's word for it? No, thank you. No, thank you at all. We'll be right back with David Riaboy.